Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
The tide is in, and the Corrib's salty morning air mingles with the light smell of traffic fumes on Dominic Street. These are the last days of the long summer holidays, and the city is slow to stir. A bin man goes about his chores with a desultory air, chasing the debris of last night's takeaway suppers. From across the way, I have a good view of the modest entrance to Chick Gillan's barber shop. A vestige of old Galway, and a bolt hole for those who seek occasional relief from the city's rapid new developments. Most of the street's family businesses have closed or moved to busier spots in town, where fish and beds and prams were sold. Now there are bookshops and continental cafes. My eye catches the sight of a dapper, well-groomed man who rounds the bend with a brisk step and a generous greeting for all he meets. It's as if the morning finally comes alive.
Mine's my office. My place of employment and enjoyment. How's that? My place of enjoyment and employment. You got to feed it, boys. The start of another day. Isn't it great to get up? And go out there. Long debt. Nino's pay for the fresh air before you come up. You wouldn't get it for. And they talk about all the hands. So we have the hands. My routine is get up, have a very good breakfast, and then head off. Go in there for a 2 minute mass into the Dominicans, and then head off out for a good walk out as far as the new treatment plant. We're all around there. Beautiful. All the strange ducks. I have a great interest in birds. Yeah, and I'm looking forward now to see the pintails coming and the teal and the widgeon from crossover. They come from Siberia, all these strange countries. And the swallows are on there getting ready now to leave as well. Watch all the... And the swans. Well, the swans will stay here. To see in the cladder that all them swans, as far as they came back, the swans, people that died. And they say that the swans down there. So I'll be talking to Mike Griffin and Coley Moore and John Moore. See, we've seen the talk back to them, but they come up nice and easy and take them. I feed them every morning with something. I buy a little bag of oats as well and give the ducks here on the canal, and I would shrinkle of oats and they love it. Because I used to do a lot of fowling one time. And I'm sorry I never shot any of them. But that time we used to shoot for the pot. And there was a clutch of hens born the same time that I was born. And I started going around with them. And I used to be carrying them around and they'd follow me. And I'd be giving them a little bit of bread out of a tune and all that. They're always around me. And I was about 5 or 6 before I opened my mouth. And the first word I said was, cock-a-doodle-doo! And so they used to call me the chicken.
Chick is sweeping up yesterday's discarded locks and pulling on a white coat in readiness for another day. The flats upstairs have emptied out, and the punters have not yet arrived at the bookies next door. The shop is small, stuffy in summer or when a crowd is in. On a Saturday, four or five men, seated close on the bench by the wall, will pack the place out. Sometimes they talk among themselves, but mostly it's a single flow of conversation mediated by Chick, master of ceremonies, showman, and ballhopper extraordinaire. In his company, the city becomes a town again. The room's thin walls are decorated with an eclectic mix of photographs, paintings, and newspaper clippings. Racehorses, local personalities, sporting heroes. I imagine that these characters, immortalized in Chick's Hall of Fame, must sometimes slip out of their cold frames and mix and fight again with their brethren on the bench. Heroes long dead to citizens in other parts of Galway live robustious lives here still and share their tales with anyone who cares to come and sit. Business is lively, but gradually more and more of the old-timers are going to the other side, and every loss is keenly felt.
There was one week I had seven customers died. That's, and they're all friends. That's the saddest part of this job now. I'm cutting fellas here for 50 years, and I'm cutting four or five generations now. And they loved to one fellas away now, and he came back all the way from America so that he get his fourth generation cutters here. Now, that's what I'm saying. There's no week passes where I'm getting mass cars or going to funerals. Yeah, it's very sad. And good, nice people too. And good humour. You know, you've great old crack over here. But there were some great characters now here. Yeah. Dick Killer Malone up there. The last street fighters, he used to do all his fighting on the street. Yeah. He called himself, the Killers used to call him. See him up, he's still alive. And there's Christy O'Connor. Miss Christy came in there last week to look at his photograph, and he looked so well. He stood at the door, I knew him, and was up finally. He looked at it and he said, "Who's that old lad up there?" And that's when I recognised me. "How are you, Christy?" The maestro himself. And there's Nolan Fine up there, the Lord of Mercy. I worked for him for years in Sea Pint. He's a man that built Sea Pint, a grand man and a nice man to work for. He was a grand man. He was a great, he was one of the first big fellas that started Sea Pint, that started Salt Hill. And then there's Mocking Oliver. See him with the goose, great character, great fisherman. There he is coming out for the Christmas dinner on the bicycle. I asked him, was a nice goose. He said, "Well, it was beautiful," he says. My wife stuffed him, said she would breadcrumbs and a bit of dripping and a couple of rashes over the back of him. And he says, and he tasted lovely. Oh. But these have their own geese in Clare one time when I was a kid. They're all geese, yeah, lovely, and hens, but mostly geese. And who else know how we up here? Oh, they were marching Tartan, marching Drainon. There he was. Wasn't he great bit of stuff? And he'd only one pair of togs, and that he wouldn't wear any else, only one with a shamrock on it. See it? And that's him in his young days, 1943. He was a leading contender at that time, one of the contenders for the world heavyweight. And he wasn't, you know, compared to the heavyweights now, they're all 18 stone. Marching was just 13 stone. And then you have the heavyweights up here. Francis Barrett brought that from back from Atlanta for me. Well, he was in a bus and he spotted it. And he said, "Chick, he'd like that." And he brought it all the way back and he didn't break it. And even when he was coming back at the parades, you know, he was hanging on to it. Yeah, and when they came off the plane as well, they were going to give the flag to Michelle Smith to camp. No, said she, "Give it to the man," said she, "they brought us into the stadium." That's what she was very fond of him. So he carried, and he gave that into Miss Mel Smith to mind while he was carrying the flag. Now, and when he came off the plane, and it was raining that day, but it's a grand photograph. I suppose one of the best heavyweights where Cassie is in the front beside the fellow that had great bouts with him. I think we knew one minute. And then you have Larry Holmes up the back and George Foreman and George Norton. They were great heavyweights too. Sure, Marshall was as good as any of them. And then I have Michael Carew up here with Gore Middle. And then I have a great character here in O'Hall in the football. He played for the Griffins. Stefan Amaya, the tweed chap, a gentleman. 6'2", big strong man. A great man for fishing and shooting. A fine cutter man. And then I have another lad, Rory O'Toole. He won a European Championship medal in the Special Olympics, in a great friend of mine too. Yeah, in Spain. He won that in Barcelona. And then I have the photograph of President Kennedy here. That's in the shop. I went out and shook hands to him that day. Yeah, I did. And I was a couple of customers, we all went to the shop to go and see him coming down the road. And I said, I'm going to go out now and ask him when he come in for a haircut. And they were to find me. So I walked out anyway. There was a big load of FBI fellas in the car. But they didn't bother. Walked out. You can see there, the car stopped. That car was a friend of mine, a customer as well, Pat Mulray. And so when I went out, he looked back. And I went out to your cans to him. And I asked him, I said, I'm the barber there, Mr. President, would you come in for a haircut? And he took a fit. Look at him. His mouth was open. He tackled very funny. But I didn't say no more. You know, I was delighted to shake hands to him. That was me there now. Yeah, and the car stopped and all the car had, and there was a big lot of FBI fellas in the back. But they didn't bother. Yeah, you know, well, it was harmless.
There are several versions of the story of how he started in the trade. But the one that Chick likes best is where he was heading off to the army and he called in for the lend of a comb. The owner spotted his good grooming and offered him a job on the spot. He remembers working at the American Parlour in Eyre Square. It was the finest place in town, and clergymen were addressed with their correct titles. Now, Monsignor. Yes, Archdeacon. When he set up on his own here, over 40 years ago, it was workers from the foundry and the woolen mills who were his mainstay. They would throng the place on the eve of the Sodality or Race Week. What are you sparing the bull cream for? Put on what'll last tomorrow. Almost all of Chick's customers can recall their first haircut. In some cases, Chick will remember their last.
There was one time when I was up in the old sand, and they were up in a big slab that time. They laid out that time in a big, big slab. Frightening old thing, you know. So I went up anyway, and he died of TB. It was up in the TB hospital in the Woodlands Sanatorium, up the road there.
They don't have it, son.
Yeah, and Jesus, his jaws has gone in off his hair. So Jesus, I could shave, and there's a good bit of hair there now. So I shaved, it was an open razor. So Jesus, I went up. I don't think I have TB myself. I went outside anyway, and I looked around, and see whether I see anything. You know, I could feel in the two bits of the Jesus, and these couple of small potatoes, so I mixed out two anyway, and I shoved them in. And Jesus had done the job, and he looked so well, I left them in. But I knew the fella anyway, and around September, I went up to see the grave. I said, I'd go up and see John's grave and say, how's he getting out? Jesus, there was a crop of potatoes above him.
You
think
it's not going up the top, Jeff?
Yeah.
Wouldn't
write
this
mop
something
queer. Oh, yeah. I remember the first time I went up, though, really, I went up to the Seine. I had to go to the fair side because it was a big sled. And when I went to the fair side, when I was going over, I had my hand, elbow, you know that now, Georgia. My hands touched his stomach. And then later, you know, some kind of glass or something. And just I was like, oh, and my jeans I took off. But I was explaining to him what happened. I said, that fella's alive. I'm going to fella, that fella's alive. But I shaved a good few fellas here in the street, old Bill Hegarty over there, and getting the last hit shave. Yeah, when he died. I remember he died, his eye wasn't even closed to St. Dover. Because he used to shave them when it was in hot, you know, as in cold. But, you get used to it.
There's no that nose there?
No.
They do the whole.
Should have put makeup and all. Enough off the top and all, no.
Small bit if you
don't know. Yeah. It's all, all makeup now, Jojo. Eyebrows done and everything like that.
I don't know why.
You know, see this gentleman here, I'm cutting this gentleman. He has great stories. That man has all his life a baker. And he's seen great changes. Both the loaf and the pan loaf.
Sure.
Were you there the time the brown bread?
the time the sliced loaf came to go away in the 50s.
No, the brown bread, the stuff that they near pies in you during the wine years, into the wine years.
I know. Not like that for her, no. Jesus.
A funny thing,
42 I'm
not born, in exaggeration, at the time that was going out, everybody broke open a rash, like it was scratching all the time from that loaf. Did you heard of it?
I heard of it.
Oh, right. Jesus, it. What were they making about it?
Oh,
sure. Sawdust.
And they could find, I'm sure.
Oh, it was very bad. It was
coming into the country.
It was awful bad. Oh, Jesus, you got brown, nearly black. But you must see great change in your business.
Oh, sure.
That change was all hard labour.
In the 50s, the sliced pan came to town. There was queues outside the Leiden shop. Jesus, the bread is cutting all for us. Honestly, out of the Scots, right? Yeah. Oh, crazy.
But everybody used to make their own bread.
Oh, sure, that tight, I wouldn't
say. Or the brown bread, the sort of bread.
Yeah.
I always eat the brown bread.
The dice, that time, Jesus Christ, they had the word of cabbage and turnips.
I always eat brown bread now.
Yeah, so that was the main thing.
Which?
So long as it
was
forward, eat
yeah,
it.
That's right,
huh?
I see.
Good luck,
now. The day was very different. Plenty of cabbage and tonics. And everybody, even where I lived in Bohemore, there was no flowers, that's in my roses. It was supposed to be growing in the front garden, the cabbage, as well as the back. And there was plots given out that time with the soup. You remember all these supermarkets now? The down the Hetford Road. That was all plots. You get a plot down there for 2 shillings. And would you believe it, the spade you could live with there, never taken. Don't be a scallion taken. I said, if it might be a fella come over, having a scallion, take a few scallions there, right away, say, I've turnips over there if you want them. Jesus, they were awful honest and decent that time. Every one of them had a pig that time, 2 or 3 pigs in the back of the house.
That's right.
They had, and we used to get, I remember we used to be going and getting down little for them and all the waste. And Jesus, who was this used to buy them? Todd Carver from Hetford. He was the big buyer. And one day we were going to the first 2 pigs I got. I'm sure I hadn't them well done at all. But I'll bring them down the road anyway. And this fella said to me, he says, look, Chick, he says, the dogs, the greyhounds don't know, he says, till Friday night. So I brought them back in again, a few more buckets. And all the, there were no waste that time. All the peels and all to be around. To be all in. And there was
look
a dump.
The tasters and the bacon that time.
Oh, smashing.
Your own spuds and cabbage, that's what they used to get, you know, the real.
But you went to battles, they're talking about washing their hands now. Yeah. What do you call this? They have a fancy name for the runs now. What's this to have? Or what's this to call it? Some kind of virus. I don't hear it now. I'll think of it in a minute now. But I remember the big battles of corned beef outside the butcher shop. You put your hand down and be half soaking. And they'll shoot that over
there. It's good dogs and all,
you know. Oh, jeez, it'd be great. And the cow's head was cooked.
That's right.
And the pig's head sure was a luxury. Right. And it'd be split in two. Cheers. And the crew beans. Cheers, they were delicious. Now they have.
Is that the same taste anymore, is it?
Oh, no. They were all, there was no. They were, I suppose, what you call organic. We did not mint that time. There was no fertilizer. And old chickens was grand, free range.
That's so fine. When the day old chicks came.
I never had chickens as well.
You couldn't eat them.
Which?
The old day old chicks, they're
blind. I know, they're not. The cock. He was the curb.
I think that's force.
And he had a leg, near like a lamb's leg. The cock was so big. And they was eating and drinking it. That was a big dinner. Two of them up on the table.
And a big mug of buttermilk then.
You couldn't beat it.
The same taste now as the fish now either. The mackerel or anything, that's the same as long ago. So the sea's rotten now, it was.
I remember going down there and I'd say all them fishermen that were fishing that time, they're up in heaven. They were the most generous men you could get. They used to throw hanks onto the for anyone to take them, anyone to be looking for a bit of fish. Hanks of them onto the quay. And you could, my hands were cooked bringing them home. About pan they go down straight away then. And then the pot would go down for the pot. The red garnet. Did you have the red garnet? He had a big red head like you now. Oh, a fine red head. Do you know what I mean? He's a big fish. Well, head and all would go down. Eyes, everything would be it. Only to clean him up a bit. Tail and everything.
The nice way we done the mackerel was in the fire.
Oh, lovely.
Put out the thing, you know.
And
put the tongs in and... Oh, it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
If they saw you doing that now, they'd send you away.
I'm thinking of that name now. Simonella. That's the job. Simonella. That fancy one, no, they call the runster. But she just said, you got the runs when you plenty of your time. But you wasn't doing you good. But the best thing in the world.
The shop is fitted with two barber chairs. But it's plain that only one comes in for any regular use. For Chick has worn a semicircle on the lino around it. A dense ring of hair clippings lies outside that again. A wooden board is stacked nearby. When laid across the arms of the chair, it brings even the smallest customer within Chick's reach and elevates him to the status of boy prince.
Now, hop up there.
The wind blows the hair down.
Well, I put something on to keep it down for you. Will I hop up here and you'll wait by. Are you, I give you a hand up?
Thank you,
too. No, give me a hand. He loves kids. One, two, up to Daisy. Much love, well, you have to clean. I'm telling you. Well, that's too much after.
Not enough for that after, but a bit at the front, you know, if you take a bit at the front mostly. You know. And as little as possible at the back, but it gives it a shape, you know, if you can.
Yeah. I take a bit of the high stuff.
Okay.
Hello. That's your great pie.
In the mirror. We're all in the mirror. There aren't we?
On the mirror, have we?
Yeah.
Oh. Are you going to school?
Yeah.
You're too young, are you? What age are you?
3 and a half.
3 and a half? God, good man. Gosh, you're big for your age.
You like cutting your hair, no?
Yeah.
And you're learning a song at school?
Yeah.
What song are you learning?
Incy Wincy Spider.
Oh, yes, sorry.
He thinks you're more advanced
in
preschool.
Oh, you're in the high degree. You're a scholar. Long this went over, Master. What's your first name? We didn't tell you. What's your first name?
Owen.
Owen?
Yeah.
God, that's a nice name, Joe.
What are your name?
Owen Finn.
Oh. Well, you're a great pie. Are you going to sing the song?
But why have you a sink?
Sink?
Why?
You don't wash your hands, Evie.
Oh, I do. And wash my face as well.
Now?
How?
More than you do.
How do you?
How do I do? See that? I just scoop that up with me.
But will you clean the hair up off the ground when you're closing?
I will.
The oddles do that.
Oh, Albert. Yeah, and push it out then.
And then you put it in the bin.
In the bin, out the bin. And then I just sing a song when it goes into the bin. My old man's a dustbin.
I don't know that song.
I'll teach it to you someday, will I?
You cut my ear off.
And then I want to cut it off. Give it that.
Might
if you don't
sing him a song.
It's only half an ear. Gee, where's it gone?
Where's your ear gone?
Back again. Now give us a song now before you go.
Do that, man.
I had him away from the haircut and he's after singing as well.
No, he sang.
And I don't like
him. You know, you're a great singer.
I can't.
Goodbye now.
Goodbye, thanks very much.
Say
thanks very much, Owen.
Bye, Owen.
This is the last time we'd ask you to sing now. You sing?
I will. La la la, sing outside the door, so.
I can't sing anymore.
Why? Do you sing a lot?
No.
What can you do?
Goodbye, now.
Nice to meet you, isn't it?
Spider climbed up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sunshine and dried up all the rain. And the Incy Wincy Spider climbed up the spout again.
No.
The fairs long over Greyhound Creek. There's a fair in Derny, one in Spittle, one in Mem Cross, one in Kilkerran, Clifton. They were great hearted. But now it's all business now with the Marts. They'd barely talk to you there now. Before, when you buy a beach, you're going for a mineral or a drink or something. If you bought 10, you're going 10 times. Now you could buy all this there and you wouldn't be asked. You know.
There was a big Mayfair here. We used to get from school as well, the 2 days. But they'd be down here as well, the cattle. They'd be all over the place. And the farmers that time, they'd give you about tuppence to mind the cattle. To be honest, by the time they walked in, they were shagged. And you'd be holding them in there, he might have two or three. There was no such thing as a big flock of them now. And there'd be hundreds of farmers, and they'd go off with a pint. And they'd give you tuppence. Jeez, it was great, we'd get the old tuppence. You'd love doing it, holding them back. You'd attach it with somebody. And then the horse here was a great day, and the jabbing up and down and riding them and looking at them. Jeez, they were great days. And the first time I went to the races, his lordship, I said, now that's his young brother now. Mike Lincolnus that trains the horse around here. It was a sidecar, you know the sidecar? And I sat under the axle. He knew I was there, but he didn't say anything. And I hung off all the way up to Ballybrit. I said I was about 5 years of age. And waiting for him to come down again then. And a lot of them were put up on and said, get out there, kind of, something had happened. But there'd be all a whole trail of sidecars going up. Jeez, it was great. And you know, I never seen a bad day. It was always good. And then the dogs that night, they go to the dogs, they'd be up the square and say, dogs, Salt Hill or the dogs? Salt Hill or the dogs? They were going out all night. Oh, jeez, there were some great days.
Helicopters, they were going out there now?
Helicopters. And they were great. And they'd be walking all the crowd. They wouldn't bother. There was no chaos that time, hardly. They'd be on the old charcoal. You know, the whole kind of old charcoal. And jeez, they're shoveling like hell. But there'd be crowds going up, like if they're going to Crow Park. Off up the Galway races, and there'd be thousands outside, and there'd be two big marquees, and then there'd be a couple of marquees of teas and sandwiches, and good sandwiches too. Jeez, you get a good lump of great meat in the middle of it. There was fabulous entertainment that time in the races outside. There was all sort of business gambling inside, but there was fellas there lying down and lifting, breaking bottles and sitting on bottles and throwing out frames. And other fellas, there was one fellow, Tumble Barrett. Now, he'd be a grandfather, that boxer lad, Francis. He'd be balancing a cartwheel, the big cartwheel on his chin, and breaking stones on their chest. Jesus, which was great. And sticking needles in them, sticking needles here and those things. And there were great accordion players and great singers.
Did you ever hear about one of the old reserves?
Two.
Huh? Sure, I came up from the country, and I came up from the land. I came up on my uniform when I heard the call to arms. I wanted to be a soldier boy, for I really loved the game. But when I got the uniform, it's then that I became, oh, one of the old reserves, one of the old reserves. Up to the Corps I was sent, where I had to pay no rent. But when the colonel saw me, he said that I deserved 3 pints a day and extra pay for one of the old reserves. Oh, the first night in an army bed, a funny thing happened to me. The creep along my pillow came the old pal, Mr. Flea. He ducked his head, ran under the sheet and called upon his gang. They marched along and formed a line, and this is what they sang. Oh, we're all of the old reserves, all of the old reserves. I've been through Belgium and through France, and I can fairly sing and dance. They surely shook the army, they surely fought their nerve, but the sweetest bite I ever got was one of the old reserves. Oh, one evening in the dining hall, my old pal said to me, I wonder what is wrong with him, they're giving his eggs for tea. Oh, I passed this rude remark, I really cannot tell, but when I opened up the egg, it's then I got the smell. Oh, it was one of the old reserves, one of the old reserves. To eat that egg, I did my best, it nearly paralysed my chest. A man who'd eat an egg like that, he surely would deserve 3 pints a day and extra pay for me, one of the old reserves.
Amen. First time I started off was a hand machine. The hand. Look at it here. There was 3 machines then. There was a number one that took off the big stuff. Number two then gradually, and then the fine one done the neck and mark on the locks and around the back of the ears.
And then fellas had fine big bushy heads at him, big strong hair. But of course the workers groom there now. They used to want the barber to groom them. But we had a thing called tinning scissors in that tinned it well down. They're like a full head of hair, but tinned. Yeah, and the scissors were going all very good. And then there were big scissors, they were long. You'd often give when you were training, you'd often give a fella a nip to his ear. And we're bleeding like a pig then. Yeah, it's terrible. And you know what we used to put on them? Septic pencil wasn't strong enough. The cobweb. Go in the back room and get an old cobweb and put it on there. And they'd agree to it too. And it stopped that. It stopped the blood. Great to stop blood. Oh, that was an old cure. But that's when you're young for now. When you get good, then you'd know. You get a couple of slaps in the jaw from, or a kick up the backside from the boss. And the cutthroat. Now, when I started first, all shaving was cutthroat. Because, and I agree with you, because I often shaved myself years afterwards with old blades we had in the shop, and it was like a Japanese shave. Talk about tearing. And that's what they used to shave them, because they had such great skin and great, oh, they were great skin. And my father-in-law, I seen him at it, he was a farmer, and when he finished milking the cows, when he'd go for a shave, he'd sharpen the blade in a jam jar, and he had the one Max my braid, and you get a pack of that in for a penny. He had a whole year he knocked over the blade. And I was often looking at him now, and when I was at the business, I'd be looking at Jesus, you know, shot in the blade, and I seen him at it. But it was all open razor when I started first, and sure, there was some great men at the shaving. Barbers, no, sure, they were great. The English couldn't do it now, because it took a lot of practice, and then there were tough beards. A fair day, you know, you get fellas in here, wow. And the cattle dealers, they come in for the shave and hot towel now before they head off after buying. The fears just come down here now, cold cattle, all over the town. But I worked in Grand Center Square as well. It was a great place, great shop. But it was all shaving. And race week, you wouldn't do a cut of fellas here. They'd be queuing up for shaves. They wouldn't shave. They wouldn't bring their own razor. Because they'd have their old shakes as well. And you'd often see that time, fellas now shave themselves. I was sewing the mess and their bits of paper here and there, stopping the blood. And the last thing you do is get an old blade. They're trying to knock his long out of the old blade. The Max Smile. Here, Joe Kine was the longest.
They're trying to stop the cow coming to
you. Hey, how's it going? Is he looking well?
Good. Don't
mind that. They hear the brains all the time.
Have the
hair
piece
left at home
and I got back up and put it on.
He was very cross when he was in Seafine. Well, he wasn't, he was
alright. Cross the time he gave me the door then.
Yeah, he did not.
They're all done.
And we haven't
feeling too well ourselves, Joe.
No. Well, I feel
there's only
two of us left. Julian's deaf as well.
Huh?
Julian's deaf.
I'll teach
you. Like myself.
That's for me for a
shock. I've dyed Martians here one day and I put him in the back here. And Jesus, I was busy doing it. I let him dry. And
you forgot about him.
You know, 1 minute watching, because Martian wants him dying him. But because next me, I heard the back door opening, and I looked out the door and he gone off the cap. And all he was in horror, and all the dye went down his neck and down his shirt and down the side of his face. And then he wiped it, and his ears was black. And I'm like, you never, because there was no mirror in the back room. And he went off up the street with his cap on. He never do dance. He was a guest man. But any time there was a match on, he'd always go up to Amalia's for his underwear. That's all he gets. He'd have suit him. And he'd change his underwear. And he'd come out, didn't matter who he'd be, and he'd be shadow boxing. You know? And in his underwear. But he was a guest ticket.
Started on Seapoint. It opened the week before the races, 1949, and I started race week 1949, and I finished in 1980. I ran 30 races, isn't that so? And the best years, in my opinion, there was the 50s and the 60s. You had the Regal from Cork, there was Schoban from Cork that time, and Tuesday or night, so, but like, and people. men and their wives and youngsters might come in for a half an hour, so I'd just walk in to hear them. She used to work great out for all, because I think some of them are dead down there. They were, Minahan was the man's name from Cork, the Regal Show Band. Yeah. They were looking great. Then you had Des Westwell and Hugh Keelhan. Oh, they were great. But there's the band that time, there'd be a relief band that has to be with those hours. Or if you had an English band, oh, they'd only play so many hours. But I'll tell you a yarn about a fellow called Billy Flinder, or as it's all. He was a clarinet player with Des Westwell. And Billy Flinder was a bit of a rake of a fella. But he, the clarinet he had, he'd have bits of chewing gum and bits of elastics and everything. But Sid Phillips was playing, who was the top clarinet player in England himself. And he spotted old clarinet thrown in under the chair because Fresher was the relief band for him. And when he was finished, he said to one of the lads, come on up here in the band. I want to see what this guy's able to do with that thing that's under the chair. That's what he called it. Billy Nan went up and he turned his back to the corner. He was putting bits of chewing gum here and bits of elastics and everything. When your man heard him, he came down and offered him a job. He said, if you can't knock music out of that, what would you do with a good clarinet? That's true. Yeah. That's no lie. Sid Phillips was the band leader.
Where do you used to enjoy the dances that time? Now, I go all over the country now between the old boxing and here and going on the old country. And there's the place I meet a fella, how are you chick? You don't know me. God with sick paint. Did we enjoy ourselves? And the kids don't know what they're missing out today. But like that, Lint used to come then, but you'd always get a new contingent of new dancers in race night. They'd be after learning that 6 weeks or 7 weeks. And I'd say that there was fellas from the country, farmers, they were immaculate coming, they'd have their white shirt and...
St. Patrick's
Night or something. Yeah, and they'd have... St. Patrick's Night, and they'd have beautiful shoes polished, extra pair of shoes with them. And the bicycles now, and they'd be able to dust themselves before they go in. And by God, they could turn in a saucer. You'd stand to look at them dancing. Now, I had two left feet myself, but I used to watch these. They were like, talk about Freddie Astaire.
They were terrific. They put the woman on the cross by the back and bring her home.
Yeah.
Cares?
I seen them cycling. I know them, Tan Egan, now they're dead, all these. Hedford's a great place for coming up. And Bobby Newell, they cycled up there. You know, and they loved the dance. And they were great bands, too. They were great musicians. They all had to read. They were just going up, they were old. They had just bang, 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 baby. They were like these bands here you have. Bang, bang, baby. She walked to the stage. Oh, they were great. He was the one of the top singers there. He was the top singer with Des Westwell.
That's who
he killed.
I don't know. Don't tell them about Billy Flinders or someone said Phillips. About the old clarinet thrown under the chair.
And the elastic.
Yeah.
And the chewing gum.
Sid Phillips said, was impressed with his playing, and he said to him, would you like to use my instrument afterwards? That was a great compliment, and Billy played like a bomb. Sid turned on to Billy then, and he said, could I play yours? I'm afraid you couldn't, he said. Why? He said, it was a special make. He says, it's an elastophone. Never heard of that make, he said. Well, he said, it's held together by elastic bands and stamps. this is just about the way we were, which is a very appropriate song for the occasion. Going back on the old days, so this is it, and do my best. Memories light the corners of my mind. Misty watercolor memories of the way we were. Scattered pictures of the smiles we left behind, smiles we gave to one another, of the way we were. Could it be that it was all so simple then? Or has time rewritten every line? If we had the chance to do it all again, tell me, would we, could we? Memories are so beautiful, and yet... Are you can't buy memories like that. Like the young people today, they won't have the memories we had. Like, you know, and the characters that were around. Joe will tell you.
I wouldn't like to start my life now.
No, I wouldn't like to be in that category. At all.
I prefer to wear it like I'm my age now, because I don't think that we'd be able to put up with it. It's no alone, it's no not. It's a joke.
So it's the laughter we will remember whenever we remember the way we were, the way we were.
Why is it that every generation fears the next will have nothing worth remembering to comfort them in their old age? They need not worry, because as surely as these legends of old Galway inhabit Chickgillens, he too will live on in the stories of another generation of the city's sons. And who knows which of them will frame Chick's picture and place it in his Hall of Fame.
I'd like St. Patrick's Band to play me into the graveyard. And Giorgio, I'd like him to be properly dressed like any undertaker. Tall hat on. And, you know the blacks, they're great for funerals. These jazz singers. I'd love to have one of them funerals, you know, except I wouldn't like jazz, I'm not too fond of it. But I'd like a hearse now, if it could possible. Horse drawn, because I'm very fond of horses. Two Cunamada ponies under them. And Giorgio, properly dressed as an undertaker, I like the silk hat in him, out in front with the sash. And some other fella driving with white gloves. And a band, the St. Patrick's band, they're my favourite brass band. Them with the crowd open St. Patrick's up in near the Greybay station. They're a great band, because I knew a lot of them, I knew the old timers. And playing the a couple of old marches, when Johnny come marching home, hooray, hooray, you know. And then they could, of course, they could change the world when Johnny could take it up. Go now. At the end of the day, just kneel and pray. I thank the Lord for the work and play. I try to be good, but I know sure I should. That's the end of the day. Look, I give you a blow of the horn before I go.
Because you can do it.